Thank you and good afternoon. Someone has said an autobiography is a book which tells nothing bad about the writer except his memory. We appreciate very much your listening to our Bible Meditations program today. We're glad that you're listening, and we welcome you as we study together from the Word of God. We're going to think this week about what the Bible says in regard to the subject of sin. I'm really not concerned about what people think about sin. Sometimes people come up with ideas in regard to sin that are not authoritative. However, if I find in the Bible what God has said about the subject of sin, I can mark it down. That's the truth, and I must stand by those things revealed in the Word of God. Now, the reason that I say that is the fact that there are many people in our world today who think that they have the right to dictate what sin is and what is not sin, and they believe that they have the right to make up their mind who they're going to follow. However, the Bible teaches very plainly that Jesus Christ and his standard in the Bible is that which determines right from wrong. When Paul came in Acts 17 and verse 11, when he came and talked about the people of Berea, he made this observation. The people of Berea were more noble than they of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and search the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be so. Can you see there the fact that not just receiving the Word of God, but using it as the standard by which they judged what is right and what is wrong is certainly an important point for us. If I want to know what does the Bible say about the subject of sin, we'll go to the Bible and find that. If I want to know what people think about the subject of sin, then we might go to another source. So we're going to what does the Bible say about the subject of sin. That's very important to all of us for this reason. All of us have been found guilty before our God in regard to the subject of sin. I read the Roman letter, chapter 1, and I find a description given there of the Gentile world in general. There were many things they were doing that were contrary to the will of God. And so, as that listing is given, the Gentiles stand condemned because of their sin. However, the Jew might look at that list and say, "The Gentiles are not doing well, but we are doing better, we're on a higher standard." However, chapter 2 of the Roman letter is written to explain to the Jew that they also stood under condemnation. "Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest not thyself also." This was spoken to the Jew. And Paul simply says, if you're going to teach the Gentiles about the subject of sin, you need to learn some things yourself and make some application in regard to your own life. In verse 24 of Romans chapter 2, Paul simply says, "The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you," because of their conduct, because they looked on others and condemned, yet they were approving in their own lives things that were contrary to the will of God. Paul just simply says the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of your conduct. Then in chapter 3, to summarize what he has said, chapter 1, Gentiles are guilty of sin. Chapter 2, Jews also are guilty of sin. Now in chapter 3, in verse 23, he has made the observation before this that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 and verse 10, there's none righteous in all of the earth. And so indeed sin is in the world, and you and I who are old enough to understand the difference in right and wrong have committed sin. The origin of sin is Satan himself. I'm sure that you understand that Satan is the one who in the very beginning decided to try to get people to do the wrong thing. And so it's not by any surprise that we find Satan trying to tempt people to do the wrong thing, and they fall sometimes to that temptation. Look at the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 44. Here's the situation. Some were saying to Jesus, "We're children of Abraham, and therefore, since we are Abraham's children, we do not stand condemned, but we stand justified before God." Anyone who could not say, "We're the children of Abraham," would stand condemned. But Jesus said this, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." I wonder, doesn't that mean, if he's the father of it, doesn't that mean that the origin of sin is Satan himself, and the lie in particular? Well, I think obviously that's the point. Satan is the one who appeared in the garden after God had given to man all of the right to do the things that were right and acceptable in caring for the garden, but God had given a law. The law said that we were not to eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. So Adam and Eve were told, "You must not eat of that fruit." However, Adam and Eve fell because Satan came in the garden and said, "You're not going to surely die. God said that, but you're not going to die," and he was lying about it. He wasn't telling the truth. And so sin came into the world through the work of Satan. I look at the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 12, and I read something like this. "For as by one man sin entered into the world, so by one man sin came into our existence, and so death passed on all men, for all have sinned." So we're simply saying what the Bible says about the subject of sin is that all of us stand condemned before our God. Now tomorrow in our study, I'd like to point out to you how we become sinners. It's not by birth. There are people who tell us that we're born in sin, that God indeed made us guilty of sin when we were born. And so the doctrine of original sin is very clearly taught by some today. Does the Bible say that? What does the Bible say about the origin of sin? Please continue to study with us this week as we talk about this subject. Remember, in the meantime, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you to our announcer.